70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT. Gina Alexandria.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
Thank you. You know, Rev was just saying this morning that he said he don't know your story, but he said everybody has a story. We all are going through something. No matter how much we smiling on the outside, some of us was crying on the inside because we're hurting so bad. But no matter what you're going through, just ask the Lord. Whatever he do, don't do it without you. You don't want to be left out. Because you got a blessing that's on the way.
Lord, if you ever
Don't do it. Ask the Lord, just don't leave you out. Your blessing is on the way. Your healing is on the way. Your season is on the way. Don't do it without me.
Cancer free. And she asked me what I sing. So I'm going to do the best I can. And that just goes to show you, Lord can do anything he wants to do. All we have to do is trust in him. That's all we have to do. Pray on just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. Everything be all nowhere left to turn. Tired and burdened, Lord, you think you can go on. You struggle so in this old world of sin. Burdens so heavy. Don't think you can win. But then you feel his presence surround you. But you felt so alone. Don't even know how he found you. But know you're leaning his mighty arms, depending on to keep you safe from harm. Hold on just a little while longer. Hold on just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. Everything, oh, it would be all right. Into each life some rain must fall. But you just got to believe the Lord will always hear our call. tonight so you can pray on you just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. Pray on just a little while longer. Yeah, every day would be, it would be all right.
Let's pray on just a little while longer. And everything is gonna be all right. Hold on just a little while longer. In other words, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just a little while longer. Give us the faith, give us the strength to just keep holding on, keep praying, keep praising you just a little while longer. And as one of my members says, everything is already all right, and it will be all right as long as we keep our eyes on you, keep our faith in you. Keep all of our trust in you and acknowledge you continuously in all of our ways, and not trusting in our own understanding, but knowing that you will give us directions in our pathway each and every day of our life. Now, Lord, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Yield the steel in thy mighty hand. I have the only way, Lord. Give me preaching power that I may proclaim thy word, thy will, and thy way to thy people. In Jesus' glorious and precious name we do pray. Amen. The church said amen. We bend you lovely to officers and members of this great church, Mount Holly Baptist Church. I'm grateful and thankful once again that God has given me the opportunity to stand and say a word on his behalf. I forgot to make mention when I was up that this is October, is Cancer Awareness Month. Lord, won't you stand? 18 years, she's a living witness to what God can do. 18 years, and I myself, I'm 2 years and 3 months cancer-free. About 2 weeks ago, I had my PSA done, and it showed no sign of cancer. And so I'm grateful and thankful. And so we have cancer survivors within our own family. We thank God for you, the Lord, and we thank God for what he has done in your life and is still doing it. Amen. Amen. I'd like to lift up a thought this morning from the book of Matthew, the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 11, the gospel according to Matthew, the tax collector, chapter 11. very familiar passage of scripture. And I know someone's going to say, Rev, done preached that before. And you are right. Dr. Charles Stanley said, if a sermon's not worth preaching twice, it wasn't worth preaching the first time. And he has much more knowledge and theology than I do. And so if he said that, well, it must be some truth in it somewhere. Beginning at verse 28, chapter 11, Matthew, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. May God bless the reading and hear of his divine word. Just for a little while, I want to share with you Jesus, our place of rest. Jesus, our place of rest. Matthew is the writer of our text. His name means the gift of God. He was a Galilean Jew, also called Levi, in Mark 2:14. He resided at Capernaum, where he was a publican or tax collector under the Roman government. Matthew's purpose for writing was to prove that Jesus is the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Matthew writes to the Greek-speaking Jews, for he finds it necessary to interpret words like Emmanuel, Golgotha, and Christ's prayer on the cross. He uses more Old Testament scripture than any of the other three gospel writers. His book contains 28 chapters, 1,071 verses, 28,684 words, according to Boyd's Bible Handbook. This 11th chapter of Matthew deals with the doubts of John the Baptist, the hypocrisy of the religious leaders, and the wickedness of the cities where Jesus had been preaching. Jesus has been surrounded by those who are weary, either with their vain efforts at religion or their equally vain struggles against sin. These are people who need to know that there is a place of rest. A place which we can run, where we can rest from the labors of our soul. While people run here and there trying to find peace, Jesus says so simply and so calmly, come unto me, and I will give you rest. There is a place of rest, a place of quietness, a place of peace, and his name is Jesus. Now, this rest that Jesus promised us this morning, my Lord, is not physical rest, even though we need physical rest, but spiritual rest, for our soul needs rest. Here Jesus promised rest for the weary and troubled. Rest is not the absence of labor, hardship, or suffering. Rest is the absence of guilt, worry, and anxiety, and a lack of meaning. Jesus promised meaning, hope, assurance, peace and joy, even in the midst of troubles that we're going to endure in this life. In these verses, through a series of commands and invitations, Jesus invites you and me to enter that place of spiritual rest. Let us examine his invitation as I try to share with us on the thought, there is rest in Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, there's a call here in this text to salvation. Well, I believe we're living in a time and day now that people are trying to serve the Lord without being saved by the Lord first. Salvation comes before your servitude. And so many are trying to serve, and that's why we have the problem that we have in the church, because we have more people that are unqualified than that are qualified. And the qualification is simply being born again, born from above, and accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He says here in plain English, come to me. Not some people, but this is inclusive, all, because all of us need rest. All who labor, all of us labor, and all of us sometime or another are heavy laden, overburdened. And he says here, I will give you rest. The word labor here refers to those who are absolutely worn out from effort. While the word heavy laden calls to mind those who have been pressed down by a great weight. The reference here is to those who are struggling with sin and those who are laboring under the bondage of religion and vain attempts at self-righteousness. Or the word Jesus is calling all those who are trying to do good their own way to get to God. There's only one way, and that's God's way. Jesus is the way to salvation. That is the essence of salvation. Salvation is coming to Jesus. Salvation is giving your life to Christ. It's not just coming to church. It's not a grief. It's not coming to man. It's not coming to a denomination. It's not coming to altar. It's not just being baptized, but it's a new way of living. It's a lifestyle that we take on because we have heard the gospel. And there is power in the preaching of the gospel to those that believe it. And we have received it. We have believed it. Now we trust him with our life. You got to understand that salvation is found only in coming to Jesus. Only in accepting him as Lord and Savior. Jesus found salvation is found in no one else. For the scripture said, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is inviting those who are struggling under the burden of doubt, the yoke of religious legalism, and the bondage of sin and guilt. Jesus has the power to free us this morning. If you want to be free, come to Jesus. That's the only way. Secondly, he commands us to surrender. For he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am gentle and meek and humble, lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Surrender is defined as to yield to the power and control of another. And the other is Jesus Christ. To give up completely or agree to forego in favor of another, and another one is Jesus Christ. In other words, he wants to control our life. And most people have a problem with someone controlling their lives. But this person that wants to control our lives through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit is Jesus. And he's always looking out for the best in us, for the best for us. After you are saved, you ought to live like a saved person. Paul said in Philippians 2 and 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. New King James said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We must surrender to a person. We must surrender all to Jesus. Paul said, brethren, I beseech you to present your body as a living.